Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about financial stewardship. This is a teaching that I began last Monday, and I tell you, I am really excited about this. One of the reasons I'm excited is because I got a brand new book on this. You know, every time I teach on financial stewardship, we get some of the greatest testimonies that we have ever had. I mean, this is an area that people struggle in, and sad to say, many people departmentalize their life and say that this is my religious life or my Christian life over here, and then there's a large segment of their life that they just think it's up to them to figure it out on their own, and they follow the ways of the world. But the Word has a lot to say about finances, and I've seen this work in my life. You know, this is a subjective statement here. I don't have any way of proving this, but from my perspective, I've been as poor probably as any person watching this program. I mean, Jamie and I have been through poverty, severe poverty. Sometimes people in other countries don't understand this because they think, well, in the United States, couldn't you have gotten food stamps or welfare, or couldn't you have had somebody help you out? And, you know, there are those support systems and stuff, but all I could think of was that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed out begging bread. That's a scripture. And because of that, I wouldn't tell anybody what my financial situation was. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I've had relatives that heard about our financial poverty and they got mad at me and said that it was just pride. But in my heart, I was trying to trust God. And for whatever reason, most of it was my own stupidity. When I first got started in ministry, I thought that it would have been sin for me to go work a secular job and make money that I wouldn't have been faithful to what God called me to do. Since then, I've realized that when you are only ministering to four or five people a week, you can't expect to live full time of that, and that like Paul, I should have made tents and have helped myself financially until the ministry got to where it was full time and I literally wouldn't be able to do anything else. When ministry becomes full time, you can expect to live full time. But I didn't understand that, and because of it, Jamie and I went through extreme financial poverty. I mean, going weeks without food. You know, I told these stories a lot. It's been a long time since I've told some of these stories, but I remember when Jamie and I first got married. This will just show you how stupid I was. I hate to share these things, but I hope that this might help some of you. But I remember when Jamie and I got married, I made a decision that I was going to go full-time in the ministry. And I had about $5,000 in the bank when Jamie and I got married. And I took it all out, turned it into $100 bills, and gave them all away in 2 days. I mean, people coming out of a 7-Eleven, a store, total strangers. I just gave $100 bills to everybody because I couldn't wait to get out where I was living by faith. Now, that is dumb to the second power. And that is dumb. But nonetheless, that's what I did. And I was only holding one Bible study a week and just ministering here and there and doing minor things. And because of it, Jamie and I would go weeks without food. We got eviction notices. And we would stand and believe God. And God kept us from starving. God kept us from being evicted. But it was like a miracle every time. We weren't living in the blessing of God because we didn't know what the Word taught. And I remember specifically this one guy came by our house and he was driving a Coke truck and he gave us an entire case of Coke. And then he gave us a big bag of Doritos it was Fritos. And that was what he'd been eating on, so it wasn't even a full bag. And he gave us his Doritos and one case of Coke, and that was all we had for weeks. We would separate out these Doritos and eat so many. And, I mean, it was pitiful. And I remember that one day we came in, and Jamie went to the kitchen cabinets looking, you know, just we knew that we hadn't bought anything, but we were just wondering if God made food appear in our cabinets or something. I mean, when you opened up our refrigerator, some people, when they say they don't have anything, well, they still got all of their sauces and they got the butter and they got, you know, a lot of stuff in there, but they just don't have enough for a whole meal. When you opened up our refrigerator, the only thing in there was our salt, because in Texas, it would clump up if you left it out. There was so much humidity. So we put our salt shaker in there, and that was all in there. I guess we had some ice, maybe, and that was it. And, I mean, we went weeks without anything. And so we just were living off this Fritos and Cokes for weeks. And Jamie would open up those cabinets, and nothing would be in there. And I remember walking in, and she went straight for the cabinets. And I remember thinking that, God, this just isn't right. That I'd give my right arm to feed Jamie and take care of Jamie, and yet here we are struggling, and it's my fault. And the Lord spoke to me through Luke chapter 12, verse 32. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And he showed me that he had given his Son to provide our needs. And I mean, that was a major breakthrough when I started realizing that God loved us more than I loved Jamie and that he was going to take care of us. And so I remember just telling Jamie, I said, "We are going to eat some meat today. We're going to have a regular meal today before midnight." And so at lunch, we had Fritos and Coke. That's all we had. And that evening, we went to church, and there was a guy that came up to me, and he says, "Would you come over to my apartment after church tonight?" And he lived in the same apartment complex we were in. And so I said, "Okay." And I thought to myself, I thought, maybe they're going to have food. Maybe we could eat something. And we got over there, and he just sat and visited and talked for a long period of time. And it was obvious that he wasn't going to feed us anything. But before we left, he says, "I came over to your apartment today, and I felt like the Lord told me to give you these steaks and this fish and just give it to you as a blessing." And he says, "But when I went over to your apartment, the car wasn't there. And I figured you must not be there, so I thought I'd just wait till tonight." Did you know that the only time that our car was gone that day, because we were just about out of gas, Jamie went and washed some clothes with our last dollar in something that we had in change, and she took them over in the car, and so the car wasn't in its proper place. That's the only time that that car was gone, and that was during the exact time I was praying, and God spoke to me, Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And so, anyway, we took this meat and fish and all of this, and the guy said, here's some potatoes, and he gave us vegetables and things to go with it. We rushed home. Jamie cooked it as quickly as we could. In about 5 minutes till midnight, we sat down and ate for the first time in weeks. And the next day was my birthday, and I had a person give me an entire box of porterhouse steaks, and we went from not eating to living high on the hog, and eventually God got it through my thick skull that I needed to work until the ministry grew and could sustain me. And God kept us through those things. But one of the reasons I bring that up is to say that, look, I have been in as severe financial straits as any person watching this program. And again, we could sit down and compare notes and argue about it, but whether you beat me or not, I've been in trouble. And yet today, we are prospering, and God is taking care of us. We have a house that's paid for. We've got cars that are paid for. We owe no man anything. God has just supernaturally taken care of us, and I did not do it through the world system. I haven't hocked myself up to my eyeballs. We have a tiny bit of debt in the ministry, but relative to our assets and stuff, it's probably, I don't know, 1% or so. It's just God has blessed us supernaturally. And I mean, it's because we've taken the principles of the Word of God. And this is what I've put into this book. And I am really excited because I know that this is going to change people's lives. This is really, really important. And I just want to encourage you with it that God wants to prosper you financially. The scripture says in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That's a huge statement right there. He says, "I wish above all things." In other words, this isn't something that is should be relegated to, you know, just something that could happen, but it's not a centerpiece. It's not important. No, John said, "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." He wants to prosper you physically and financially as much as he wants to prosper you in your emotions and in your soulish realm. That is a huge statement. It says in Psalms chapter 35 and verse 27, "Let all those who favor my righteous cause say continually, let God be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." That's not limited to financial prosperity, but it certainly does not exclude it. Jesus desires for you to prosper. It's a part of what he came to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. And again, people try and explain that away and say, well, this is talking about rich in joy and in peace and in your family relationships and hope and all of these kind of things. And it includes that. But if you look at that verse in context, every single verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 is talking about money. If you go back and look at all of the verses surrounding it, he's talking about money. Again, I don't think that the only way that God wants to prosper us is in finances, but he does want to prosper you financially. God wants you to have money. God wants to meet your needs. And according to that verse, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, Jesus became poor so that you through his poverty might be made rich. You know what that does? That elevates prosperity to a part of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a secondary issue. It's not an add-on. It is not a benefit. It is not just for the super saint. It is not for a few people. Jesus became poor so that you could be rich, the same as he became sin, so that you could have your sins eradicated and that you could have a relationship with God. And I know that there's many people that will criticize me over that, but I just challenge you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, and read it and tell me what it says. Again, I'm not saying it's limited to only financial prosperity, but it includes financial prosperity, especially when you take it in context. There can be no other interpretation of that. Jesus came to bless you financially. It is not just something for a few select individuals. If you are born again, if you have a relationship with God, it is part of your inheritance to be prosperous. And God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. It pleases God when you prosper. So I believe that conversely, God isn't pleased when you're poor. You know, when I went through my poverty, I remember having the thoughts about, does God care? Here we are struggling, and it doesn't seem like God cares. And this example that I gave at the first of this program about how the Lord spoke to me through Luke 12:32, where he says, "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The thing that that did in me, it removed that doubt about, does God care? Does God even will for me to be going through this? Is this God's way of breaking me or teaching me something? Is this in retribution for something that I've done? See, I had all of those thoughts coming to me, and what that is unbelief. It says over in James chapter 1 that if anybody asks something of God, you have to ask in faith, nothing wavering, because he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so here I was on one hand praying and asking God to bless us and help us financially. And yet on the other hand, I was wondering, does he care? See, that's wavering. Is this retribution? Is this my punishment? Is God breaking me? Is he teaching me something through this? All of those things are wavering. And the Bible says in James 1 that if you waver, you don't receive anything of the Lord. So I was wavering. But when the Lord spoke to me and He says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then I had said, God, I'd give my right arm to feed Jamie. And He says, I gave my son to feed you. You know what that did? It removed this wavering. It solidified me in my faith, knowing that God was for us. And even though lunch, we didn't have anything different. Supper, we just skipped it because we were tired of Fritos and Coke. We didn't waver. And I knew that day, that somehow our needs would get met. And before that day was up, we saw it come to pass. And then we started prospering and we started seeing things come to pass. I'm telling you, this is one of the focal points on prosperity. You've got to know that it's God's will for you to prosper. You've got to see that all of the finances and all of the resources that have come your way, that they are literally a blessing from God. God has given these to you, and it's not up to you to use them as you choose and to do whatever and go get your fifth flat screen TV, and you've got to have the newest iPhone and the 4G, and you've got to have all of these things. Again, I'm not saying that you can't have those things, but instead of you just deciding, I'm going to do this, you ought to pray about it. And say, Father, this is your blessing. You're the one that has blessed me with this money. What do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to go get this fifth flat screen TV? Do you want me to have the newest and the best? Do you want me to hawk my future and to get myself to where if there is the slightest little bump in the road, I go into foreclosure and I lose everything? If you would pray about it and recognize that God is the source of everything and that there is a godly way to prosper, there is also an ungodly way to prosper. If you would recognize that and see God as your source and recognize that He wants you to prosper, the blessing of the Lord, I think it's Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and He adds no sorrow with it. There is a way to be blessed so that you become rich. God is not against you having things. Abraham was so rich that kings came out and asked him to leave because his worth was worth more than the entire national worth of those countries. The same thing happened to Isaac. You know what? God wants to prosper us. Abraham's blessings have become ours. If Abraham prospered under a covenant that was inferior, how much more now should we prosper under this new covenant? I'm not preaching do and without, but I am preaching that instead of us taking ownership of all of our resources and thinking that it's ours and just choosing to do with it as we choose, you need to develop this attitude that we talked about the very first day, Luke chapter 16, where you are a steward. That's a person that manages the affairs or the finances of another person. God is actually the source of everything that you've got, and you need to see yourself as a steward. And then you need to say, Father, what do you want me to do? How would you like me to administer this? And I tell you, there is a lot of instruction in the Word of God. But before I get into teaching you all of the things that I've learned that have turned my finances around, and I've seen God come through for me, before I can teach that to you, I've got to instill in you an attitude that God instilled in me, and that is that, Father, all of it is yours. What do you want me to do? I will direct my finances according to the instructions you give in here because they aren't mine, they're yours. What do you tell me to do? You know, I've got people that work for me. We've got, I don't even know, 230 plus employees here in the United States. And I've got people that actually write the checks, that sign the payroll checks for other people. There is a lot of money that flows through here, and I don't sign the checks. Other people control this ministry for me. But you know what? They are stewards for me. It's not their ministry. They can't sit there and just say, you know, because, well, we've got $1 million flowing through here. I really need a new house. I need a new car, and I think I'll go use some of this money, and I'll do this. We give every person that works for us a paycheck, and there is a certain amount of money that comes to them. But did you know what? They are managing this ministry for me. And if I found that one of my employees was out buying houses and buying cars and taking vacations on this ministry's money, then I can guarantee you I'd fire a person like that, because they are a steward. They have to answer to another person. You need to see yourself as a steward. God is giving you resources, but are you stewarding it? Are you doing with it what He told you to do? And this is His instruction manual. I'm going to be sharing hundreds and hundreds of scriptures with you. You know, one of the scriptures, it says that, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, then why do you glory or boast as if you had not received it? You know, that not only applies in spiritual things and in wisdom and stuff like this, but this is also talking about your resources. That you don't have anything that God hasn't blessed you with it. And if God blessed you with it, well, then why are you acting with it as if it was your own, as if it was just up to you? What does God want you to do with the money that He's entrusted to you? If you could begin to get that attitude, and then if you come to the Word and say, all right, Father, it's all yours. How do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with this money? What kind of a lifestyle do you want me to live? How do you want me to do all of these things? And if you would approach the Word without any prejudice, without any preconceived ideas, and just say, what does your Word say? I can guarantee you, I can show you things in the Word of God that'll bring you from poverty into financial blessing. I am absolutely convinced of this, that the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show Himself strong in behalf of those who are perfect in His sight. That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. And God is doing that in the financial realm. He is looking. Right now, this program goes all across the globe. There's over half of the world's population can watch this program. And wherever you are, God is looking. It doesn't matter if you are in a jungle someplace in Africa. It doesn't matter if you're in India. It doesn't matter if you're in a country that is undeveloped and that you may think you don't have the same advantages. The eyes of the Lord are going throughout the entire earth looking to see, is there someone who will say, God, it's all yours. You show me in your Word how to prosper. You start this flow of finances towards me, and I'll follow your directions, and I'll use it to glorify you, and I will not just indulge my flesh. If He could find somebody with that kind of heart, I guarantee you, He will start flowing finances towards you. If God can get it through you, He will get it to you. God wants to make you a channel of His blessing, just like He told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless you and make you a blessing. You can't be a blessing if you aren't blessed yourself. God will bless you. God will cause finances to start flowing towards you, but it can't be selfish. You can't just dam it up and hoard everything. You've got to open it up and let it flow through. And as the money flows through, there'll be plenty for you. Man, that's awesome. You know, today's my last day to teach on this first part in this new teaching on financial stewardship. This is entitled, What is a Steward? If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get this new book, study guide, DVDs, CDs, and also our financial breakthrough DVD. It'll be a blessing. So listen and then call or write and join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get both the book and the study guide as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship Series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the study guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. The entire package has a catalog value of $114, but today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled, What is a Steward? Free of charge.
Let me remind you that today will be our last day to offer you the first teaching in this 6-part set as a free gift. We will continue to offer our CDs, our DVDs, our book, our study guide throughout this entire series, but we offer each teaching one at a time free of charge to those who could not or would not send in anything to get these materials. And please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Orlando, Florida this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 12th through the 14th. In Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Better Way to Worship Conference April 25th through the 27th. And in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, May 5th through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
God's basically spoken to my heart in bringing me to CBC. And me getting a hold of the message of grace and God's unconditional love has totally changed my life, my family, how I view God, how I see God, and just give me an overall better perspective on life, and it's really produced freedom.
We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth Magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles, and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.